Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen, I have a few minutes. This is a do-it-yourself service, so it's a prayer service. We're going to be doing a lot of praying together. I want you to be ready. And you see, there are different categories, excuse this expression, of miracles. But you see, not all miracles are the same. There were so many things that Jesus did that were done in the Old Testament, but there were so many things that Jesus did that separated him from all the other prophets that had come prior. For instance, Jesus was not the first person to multiply few loaves to feed so many people, all right? Some of you may not know this, but Elijah had done that. He multiplied 20 loaves to feed over 100 people, you know. But you see, there are miracles that Jesus was the first to do. No one ever cast a demon out before Jesus. No one. No one. And then, here is something you may not know also. No one ever opened a blind eye before Jesus. No one. No one. And so, when it happened in John 9, part of the things that astonished people was that this miracle had never been done before. And then Jesus immediately connected it metaphorically and spiritually to spiritual sight. When he told the Pharisees that, if you were blind, then your sins would not have been remitted or meted against you. But he says, because you are seeing and then you are still doing these things, that's why there is judgment against you. So he used that miracle, follow me very closely, to highlight what he is going to do for his people spiritually. Do you understand what I just said? Oh my God, do you understand what I just said? Okay, let me give you another example. When Jesus raised up Lazarus from the grave, he used that to show that he is the resurrection and the life. It was not a standalone miracle. He used that one miracle to show what he would do for all believers at the end of the age. He says, he that believes in me, though he's dead, will live again. And he that lives and believes in me will never die. So listen, that miracle was supposed to announce his spiritual mission. And so the same thing, Jesus opened the blind eye to show prophetically what he's going to do for his people spiritually, namely spiritual illumination. And that just tells you that in the scheme of things, one of the worst things that can happen to anyone is that he lacks spiritual sight and insight. Where as a believer, you don't know prophetically what God will have you do and where he would have you go. I want you to know that it is not normal for you to lack visions, dreams. You know, you've never seen ahead of time something that was going to happen. Everything is a surprise to you. Everything is trial and error. Mind you, there are some people who take this to the extreme, who, for instance, don't have a job because God has not told them what to do. In all labor, there is profit. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you see, when you go through life skimming your way and there is no altar of supernatural advantage, that also is wrong. Please, are you listening to me? And in fact, sometimes even our prayer is a demonstration of limited sight. We ask for the wrong things. Our prayer reveals our lack of insight. You don't know what to pray for. And one very important thing that Paul said about prayer, not strictly about prayer, but in terms of our desire generally, can be found in Romans chapter 8.
God. Are you here today? Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Everybody read Romans 8, 26. It should be on the screen by now, is it? Read together, one, two, go. So listen, this is a flaw in the natural man. We don't know what to wish for, what to desire as we ought. We don't know what to pray for as we should. Oh my God. Hey, you know, something happened. I was feeling happy because, you see, I love children. I love children so much. You know, and one day I wanted to do something for my niece and nephew. And so I called their mom and I said, give them the phone. And I said, what do you want me to buy for you? And listen, it was in that moment where, like, maybe a king just says, you know what, ask me anything, even to the half of my kingdom. I was in that space. And after the child thought for a long time, after a long, profound thought, he said, ice cream. Because you see, a child will be a child. A child does not know what to prioritize. A child does not know, in the grand scheme of things, what is important. And so, if a child should pray, are you getting what I'm saying? Are you here? If a child should pray, in honesty, what they would ask for will be an embarrassment, and they don't even know it. I mean, as soon as the child said, ice cream, if the mother started laughing, I hate God. You see, don't allow us miss opportunity, you know? And we're all laughing and the child was like, what? I want ice cream. And think about this. The distance or the difference, the comparison between an adult and a child is infinitely insignificant when you compare a human to God. Do you understand what I'm saying? The distance between a man and God is wider. God is much wiser than we are. So now the question is, what is our prayer like? How many things do we ask for? And God just laughs. And he's like, these children, that's what you want? That's what you want? You know, I was checking old prayer notes, and I saw something. In 2015, by the way, in 2015, I think our church grew, you know, to 300. That was big then. You know, no, I think 220 or so, but that was a big number at the time. And I saw an old note where I was praying, God, if you can give us 100 constant members. I know you can't picture it. Some of you newbies who just joined us now, when we have churches around the world. It was a prayer point then. And that's unlike me, because I'm always, my faith is always stretched. But I think I've just been through a lot. I wanted to be realistic. So I said, 100. In fact, that wasn't all I said, but I can't. That's the less embarrassing part that I can tell you. And I looked at it and laughed at myself. Laughed at myself. And you see, you know what's interesting? That request must have been a stretch. That, okay, God, 100, but if you do 80, I won't mind. Do you understand what I'm saying? And God did more than double. Please, are you listening? For we know not what to pray for as we ought.
Please, are you with me?
So I want to teach you a better strategy. By the way, if I was to title this sermon, I would call it Seeing in the Place of Prayer. Seeing in the Place of Prayer. Listen, this is one of the biggest secrets of my life. This is one of the biggest secrets of my life. It's a powerful spiritual strategy to position yourself in the place of prayer where you have a spiritual vantage point to see the direction of the Spirit, and then you ask in that direction. I am telling you, if you want to see speed and ease in your life, this is a better and a superior way to pray. Where, like Habakkuk, you know, in Habakkuk chapter 2, you know what he said? He says, I will set upon a watch and see what he will say to me. So I am going to the place of prayer, not to make requests, but to see. Come on, are you with me? Hey, maybe you have not learned this about prayer before. I'm teaching you now. It's a big advantage. Habakkuk said, I am going to see what he will say. Going without a request. Going without a list to begin with. So because before you ask God, bless this business, bless this business, bless this. Do you know if you are doing the right thing in the first place? What if the season for that business has passed? The reason I'm saying this is because you can be a God lover, a genuine Christian who will hold on to something that has expired, wondering why the prayer is not answered. I will stand upon my watch and see what he will say. Another example is Acts chapter 13. The Bible says, now in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, all right? And it began to mention their names. The Bible says that there was Barnabas and then Simeon, who is also called Niger, Lucius the Cyrene, Manian, who was brought up by Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. So listen, oh my God. God was their agenda. The agenda was not their prayer request. They came there to seek the face of God, to minister to him, to love on him, to worship him, to thank him, to praise him. Listen. And as they did that, the Holy Ghost said, have you ever prayed without an agenda before? Where the agenda is, God, I am your servant. Direct my life. Oh my God. All right, Acts chapter 13, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me. So here are three things that you should know about your requests. You know, when you present the requests before God, here are three things you should know. Number one, sometimes it's not time. It is possible that it is the will of God, but it is not the time of God. It is not time. And so the Bible says in Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1, it says, ask of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Oh my God. So there is an allotted time for the latter rain. And you must ask for that rain when it is time. Just the same way you have natural seasons, there are spiritual seasons. And if you ask the right thing in the wrong season, you are not going to get your answer and you'll be wondering why. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. Everybody, I think it's projected on the screen. Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1. Read together. 1, 2, go. So he tells you what to ask and he says when. In the time of the latter rain. You must get the timing right. It's very prophetic. When the Bible says that Daniel, oh my God, because you see, the Jews had a very strong literary culture where they recorded prophecies. And so the prophets of old had prophesied some things as pertaining the future of the people of Israel. And they were documented in books. And the Bible says in Daniel chapter 9 that Daniel brought out those books, read, and he discovered that according to God's timing, there were some things that ought to be happening at that time. He said, I, Daniel, understood by books. Oh my God. Listen, prophetic books will not be written for you. You will document them yourself. you will put yourself in that vantage position in the realm of the spirit to understand the times and the seasons. And you see, when Daniel discovered that it was time, he began to pray. And that is what informed all the encounters he had with angels, you know. And Daniel, oh my God, when the Jews were still waiting for the first coming of Christ, Daniel prophesied the second coming. Talked about things that will happen at the second coming of Christ. That level of insights by prophecy, this is a more superior way to pray. Please, are you with me? Sometimes I'm sharing some of the biggest secrets of my life and I'm like, will they appreciate it? Will they use it? And let me surprise you. Number two thing you should know about your request sometimes is that sometimes it's not God's will at all. You can be sincerely and honestly wrong in your desire. You can be. You can be. And see, there is an extent to which your free will can be exercised. It is not every aspect of your life that God categorically tells you, you know, oh my God. I think it was in the university. I saw some people who, in their bid to talk about the leading of the spirit, I felt they were running mad. I felt this is madness. Okay. So, I mean, at first, say, I always ask the Lord what to wear. That's okay. No problem. The Holy Spirit said, wear red. Today, wear yellow. You know? In my mind, I'm like, first and foremost, you don't dress good. So, this cannot be the Holy Spirit. Yeah. If I show you the person, you go agree. But it now became more awkward. Don't add stew to your food. Add, you know, I was just like, something don't they have? Something is wrong. All right. But at the same time, like I said earlier, when you just go through life as if you don't have any supernatural advantage, you know what the Bible says? Jeremiah 29:11. Oh my God. God said about his people, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of good, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Oh my God. See, God has a plan for your life. And with due respect to your own meticulously crafted timetable, you want to compare notes. Please, are you with me? I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of good and not of evil. It says to give you an expected end. So meaning, oh my God, God also has an expectation how your life should end, where your life should be by now. There is a timetable. So you want to make sure that your requests are first and foremost aligned. Mind you, there are some things that are always the will of God. You don't have to ask. If you are sick, it's God's will for you to be healed. Come on, are you with me? If you are broke, you are not praying, oh God, do you want me? So you have to understand, I'm talking about the specifics now. To relocate or not to relocate. To move from this business or to stay. Those are the specifics. Please, are you with me? Come on, I said, are you with me? Mm-hmm. I refuse to live my life by chance. My God. I mean, think about it. How can one person have so many notable Kairos testimonies? You know, I was thinking again because it was, you know, Pastor Chris's birthday, or Pastor Chris Akiluman's birthday days ago. So my mind cast back to the time he called me out at the conference. You have to understand, that was the first crusade he had ever had that I attended. The first. I just knew by the spirit I must be in that meeting. So I DM'd one of the pastors there that I knew. And God bless him.
You know.
And I said, I sense in my spirit I should be in this meeting. I just wanted you to know. So gracefully, he kept a seat for me, you know. And then as the meeting was going on, and all of this, and all of that, and all of this, he wanted to make an illustration, and of all people, just picked me. Now, if you know something, this is a secret about pastors. When you want to make illustrations, subconsciously, you use people you know. Subconsciously. Subconsciously. It's an unspoken rule. You will hardly go to someone you don't know. Do you understand what I'm saying? For instance, someone sent me a post. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong. Let me preface it. You know, one of the pictures I took with someone, he sponsored it as a post, you know, on IG. So now, for a lot of people, just a picture is a lot. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that can be trouble if you don't know who you're taking the picture with. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm just letting you know how unlikely it is for a man of God of note to just call a stranger and say, and then he placed his hand behind me. See, let me tell you something. It was a powerful picture in the realm of the spirit. And I'm thinking, time and again, this thing has happened. This thing has happened. So maybe there is a prophetic pattern here. People that others are struggling to meet. I'm telling you, there is a vantage point in the spirit. Please, are you getting this? If you get this, your life will never be the same again. But I'm telling you, it begins with going to God with a clean sheet. Let him give you the desires of your heart. Let me say this, please. All eyes on me. Are you looking at me? Allow God tell you no. I know that you have heard generic teachings on prayer where Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do. He says, and whatever you ask in my name, all those things have context. First and foremost, whatever you ask must be in line with his will for your life, must be in agreement with his name and what he's trying to accomplish in your day. And that's why he must give you the desires of your heart. And it is those desires that you bounce back at him in prayer. Please, are you getting what I'm saying? Think about this. In Gethsemane, Jesus prayed a prayer that was not answered. If it is possible, let this cup pass over me. You see, sometimes God hears some prayers and he will respond with the response that you need. So the Bible says that angels came and ministered to him. Because you see, that was a moment of vulnerability. What the answer he needed was strength. Are you getting what I'm saying? What about Paul? Paul's thorn in the flesh. Some people say his sickness is not. I've taught on that already. You can get the tapes. But he says, I besought the Lord that this thorn should be taken away. And how did God respond? He says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So the answer that you need is strength. If God answers every prayer, there will be a problem in this world. You don't know. If God, you just, Adam can just ask anything. Adam. If men can just ask anything, there will be a problem. I want to tell you this. I'm not saying this to castigate the person. This person is actually someone I respect greatly. But I'm just giving you an experience. I began to function strong in the prophetic gifts from a young age. And so there was a woman who was in a government office and discovered that I was strong in the prophetic. And so she sent a convoy to pick me up straight to her office. And from her office, there was another
office that we could see. It just had a sliding glass and we could see a bigger office. And she said, you know why I brought you here? I want that seat. Mind you, that seat was occupied. You understand what I'm saying? Are you listening to me?
I just said that to tell you, if God should answer every prayer,
we will cancel each other out. And I'm telling you, most times your prayers are even an underestimation of his plan for your life. I'm telling you, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. As I was praying for this service, I saw someone in a vision. You are holding on to a business that is about to die. God is telling you, move on. For the person that this word is for, you will know is you. You are holding, you are trying to resuscitate it, and the cloud has moved. God will do many other great things through you. Please, are you listening? All right, I'm going to round off now so that we can pray. So how can I begin to function in this level of sight? Number one, which to a logical mind might seem counterproductive. Like I said, just love the Lord. Put your agendas aside. Come on, are you with me? Love the Lord from your heart. Don't make your prayers about requests all the time. All the time. The moment you just call the name of the Lord, the angels already know why you are here. You want something. You want something. Don't forget in Acts 13, as they ministered to the Lord, they had no agenda. They just came there to love on the Lord. And whilst they did that, the Holy Ghost said, listen, I have discovered. It's an irony in the realm of the spirit. You know what the book of Proverbs says? It says there are many people who gather and yet are in lack. It's an irony that some people who are fighting for resources, always praying about it, they still find themselves in lack. Meanwhile, God is coming to Solomon because he has seen Solomon's heart is after him and after service. And he's saying, you know what? Ask what you want. Then Solomon still says, I want wisdom to lead your people. Oh, you won't ask for money. Even if you didn't ask for it, I will give you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Sometimes God does some things for me and I'm just like, okay, thank you, sir. Why? God came to someone and said, ask anything. He didn't ask for money. God just said, okay, you didn't ask for money, but I will give you. There is a powerful rule of the spirit, indifference. God, I just want what you want. I just want to love on you. I just want to please you. And God says, it is this kind of person I can trust with money. It is this kind of person I can trust with greatness. It is this kind of person I can trust with influence. I know what I am saying. Please, are you listening to me? If I have discovered anything, especially this year, is that God blessing people is very cheap. If you position yourself right, it's very cheap. You know, this year, the Lord moved my spirit to invest in something. And so I drew out money, invested. Now, this is not on the merit of me as an apostle because this is a business name that does not have my face on it or anything. And then, about 5-6 months after, someone offered $80,000 to buy it. And I'm like, you know, so first and foremost, the person in charge turned it down because he felt that was small. But then I'm now like, how did I get here? Maybe when ministry took off, you might have said it's fluke. Then God said,
Release the songs I gave you. I did that. That one took off. You say it's fluke. Okay, what about this? My name is not on it. It just by independent merits. Please, are you getting what I'm saying? Maybe there is a prophetic working. Maybe there is something you can learn. It is true. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I believe it. Do you believe it? Oh my God, I want to rush through this. Love the Lord. Serve. Don't always, don't. The planets don't have to align for you to serve the Lord. Once in a while, inconvenience yourself. Why is it that the slightest inconvenience, you want to stream online? Why? God is watching all those things. God is watching your priorities. Make no mistake, listen. I have stood against the extremes, extreme teachings in generosity, but make no mistake. If you are defaulting in that area, there are a lot of things you will miss. I'm telling you this. Both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, think about it. The angel of the Lord appeared to Cornelius and said, "Your arms have gone to God as a memorial." Is that Old Testament? New Testament. Your arms, your generosity. So, giving can provoke angelic encounter. Are you aware? You better be aware. Something happened months ago. Oh my God. Yes, I'm going to tell you this just to stir your heart. I normally won't share things like this. I saw a vision and the Lord spoke to me. It was already my plan, but it came with an urgency from the Spirit. And the Lord reminded me how when this ministry was starting, at some point there were almost 8 pastors under my family roof. I had not moved to my own house then because I started very young. And my mom did not complain once. It is now in my adulting, I know that feeding must have cost a lot. She didn't complain because she saw that it was for God and you know, 4 grown men, I mean 8 grown men eating every day. PK was in the house, so you know what to expect. You know, and everything. And the Lord said, "You will honor her. And not just you." So listen, I already had money saved. He said, "You're going to buy her a very good car." But now, the Lord mandated me. I had the money to do it on my own. I had already put out some money, good amount, you know. But the Lord said, let the church be a part of it. Because at this point, he did this. So I wrote a mail. I'm a leader under, you don't understand. I try to be as accountable as possible. I wrote a mail to the board. I said, this is what the Lord has laid on my heart to do. I have 90% of the money. I sense that you should be, I think, I don't know the percentage now. You know, I think 70% of the money, I sense that the church should be a part of it. And he said, okay. Now, when we did that weekend, something happened. 2 things happened. First and foremost, someone in the UK dreamt. And in the dream, he saw that I did something that launched me and the church to a new level. Are you listening to me? And then the Lord said that he should give to me because of that. That same weekend. Then after preaching in church the next Sunday, a couple came to me with an envelope. They said, "Sorry, sir, we are not church members, but we dreamt. The Lord said we should come and give you money." Let's move on. Don't worry. See, dreams are very normal, but I'm like, okay, angels are appearing to people to give me money now. I like that. I like that one. If the Lord has told you, obey.
Friends, life is spiritual. Do you understand what I just... I mean, look at how specific the dream. It says, you and the church leaders. I said you are spot on. Don't let anyone joke. Please, don't joke with your generosity. In your walk with God, if God doesn't once in a while tell you to give sacrificially, something is wrong. Something is wrong, bro. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. If a full calendar year, and you have a job, 12 months pass, no prophetic nudge to be there for someone to do. And I'm not just talking about church. I'm talking about community or someone. It's either you don't hear from God or you don't walk with God. It's a bad sign. It's a bad sign. I'm telling you, ask anyone who has a proper walk with God. There will be repeated seasons where God will make you give in a way that you will feel virtue will leave you. The person talking to you has given out 3 cars this year. I know. I know be say I get money like that. Are you listening to me? Just love the Lord. Love him genuinely. Love him from your heart. Love him. And that's the majority of the stuff we're going to do in the next few minutes that we have. We'll just worship him with reckless abandon. You have a lot that is bothering you. Just worship him. Please, are you listening to me? Let me tell you something. I want to show you something you probably have not seen before. You know the story in Luke chapter 5 where Jesus preached from Peter's boat and then told him, launch into the deep, and he caught a great catch. But did it ever occur to you that Peter wasted his time? Because think about it. Jesus was preaching. There was a multitude to receive him. A multitude was listening to Jesus. Peter was not interested. At least his servants were not interested. They were doing business on the side. Oh, you want to use one of my boats? Use it. And Jesus finished preaching. Peter did not catch anything. Are you getting what I'm saying? So now, why didn't Peter come to church? Because I have work. I'm busy. I have work. And so now service started and ended. No progress. And then after Jesus was done preaching, he said, cast your net. I am saying this. Listen, some people take it to the extreme. They are in church every day of the week. If you do that, you'll be poor. I'm telling you. I can almost promise you that if you do that, you'll be poor. But you see, when you always have the flimsiest of excuses to put God on the back burner, there will be consequences. Life is not like that. It can be one prophetic word. Let me tell you something. God is still telling people to cast their nets. It can be an investment opportunity. The Lord will nudge you. Be a part of this. Be a part of this. That instruction to cast the net is still happening today. I'm telling you. If you learn how to listen to the Lord, cast your net. Cast your net. You know, one of our pastors came to me dramatically months ago. He said, anything you ever tell me in this life, I will do it. He said, if you ask me to be jumping like this, because there was something I said the Lord asked us to do, he wasn't sure. But the moment we did it, boom, everything changed. Ha! He said, I've learned by experience. It's not just hard work. Please learn to hear God. And I'm telling you a simple way. You know, some of you will say, but I do that. I worship. And you don't understand. God doesn't always speak with a voice. Sometimes he speaks with supernatural orchestration. It will just look like you're lucky. Some of you feel lucky, but it's the hand of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? You will just notice everything you do. Doors are opening. And you're wondering. Everyone is crying. This country is hard. But it's not your experience. It's not your experience. Things that take other people time, it's easy for you. And you're wondering why. Why am I so blessed? I'm telling you why.
Please, are you getting this?
The love of the Lord.
Oh my God.
The love of the Lord. And then the second way, of course, obvious, is prayer.
What did I say?
The Bible says in Acts chapter 9 verse 11, God told Ananias, he says, arise and go to a street that is called Straight. Inquire of the house of Judas for one Saul of Tarsus, and behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting hand on him that he may receive his sight. He was praying and he saw a vision. Prayer triggers vision. It's amen, somebody. And that's why you must pray in the spirit. You must pray in the spirit. Praying in the spirit opens, I mean, it stirs up every spiritual faculty in you. I've taught you this before. Anytime you are praying in the spirit, whatever flashes your mind, investigate it. You were praying in the spirit and suddenly someone you have not thought about in years comes to mind. Has it happened to you before? Call the person when you're done. This is how you grow in the prophetic. This is how you grow in the prophetic. Let me tell you something. Oh my God. I say my testimony is plenty. You see, when I was looking at the reboot camp budget, Pastor Bisola and Co. shared it with me. And I was just like, this is too expensive. The one thing I know we needed that I struck off the list. I said, we need this thing. But I struck it off. Few days after, I was praying. 5 a.m. when I was done, someone I have never DM'd before. The Lord said, wish him happy birthday. His birthday was 1 month before. Are you with me? The Lord said, so I went to his DM and I said, I realized I missed your birthday. Happy birthday, sir. God bless you. He said, oh my God. It has been in my mind to reach you. I just kept procrastinating. God said I should do this for the church, for reboot camp. I'm telling you. And when he mentioned it, it was the only thing we struck off the list. I'm telling you. I said, what? Because you see, when you're managing budget, you know, I would tell you what it is. It's mobile billboards. So I'm just like, this money, we were doing a lot already. We have billboards that are standing. Why does it need to move? Guess what? So you will know, I'm telling you the truth. I did not know that he was in that business at all. I did not know. It's real, though. You didn't doubt? The only thing we struck off, he said, the Lord told me, and I was procrastinating. Prayer. Sometimes there will just be a nudge. Reach out to this person. Go here. Do this. Thank you, Jesus. Take a few minutes. Pray in the spirit under your breath. Please do it well. Do it well. Do it well. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. And of course, the last one is worship, which we're going to do. You see, there are places in worship where secrets are revealed. You just know what to do. You just know what to do. Worship. Worship is powerful. And we're going to worship today. Listen, like I told you, amongst every other miracle that will happen, God sent me here to trigger something that will make your eyes sharper. So I know that this service has lived up to his expectation when you live with a clear sense of clarity, or at least you live with keys that can help you enter into that season. And maybe in this season, especially after reboot camp, you just know, do this, do this, do this. It's one of the secrets of my life. I always know what to do. I'm telling you. By the time I go this way, do this, boom.
Do you believe it's something God can do in your life? And so these are the areas, I'm done. These are the areas you're going to see this at work. Number one, in your relationships. I'm not saying relationship, romantic relationships like you should be dating many people. I'm saying relationships with people in general. I have to clarify these days. As the minister to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas. Sirs, I don't love you. I don't know how to. If I must meet you, you will dream. You will dream. Supernatural relationships are real. They are real. Amen, somebody. Another aspect, number two, investments. And I already talked about that. Cast your net into the deep. Jesus was saying he should do it at a specific time. Let me tell you this. If you ever hear me say God doesn't bless financially, I've heard. I believe that if I ever say that, angels will appear and say, "Ha, ah, you're an ingrate. Hey, my God. The Lord can guide you. Please, do you believe it? Uh-huh. Think about it. There was a lady with the spirit of divination. The Bible says she brought her masters much gain by divination. This is someone of Satan that because of spiritual advantage, she had money. Her masters had money. And then you say God cannot bless. It was after a service like this, a church member dreamt. He saw a product and he knew he had seen from the Lord. When started manufacturing it, sells more than 1,000 of those copies every day. Did you hear what I said? The era, these things are real. Do you believe it? Do you receive it? This is very important for the Joshua generation next year. Let me say something I said on the mainland. I want to repeat it for those of you whose spirits will be open. And don't respond to this carnally. The Lord said to tell you that there will be a move of the Spirit in our church and church members will own properties. And listen, I know you're thinking, for some of you, how will this happen? That's how you will know it's God. So the Lord said, just tell them. And when you tell them, it will open creative miracles. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I'm obeying God. Some of you who have been in this church know I don't normally talk like this. Do you understand what I'm saying? But so this is a specific this is not, I'm not talking about church, oh. I'm saying you. Did you hear what I said? I'm saying you will own properties. So you know what you will do? Write it down. Go home. Thank God. Paste it somewhere. Write the dates. God said I will own properties. And from today, when it shows up on your feed, property for sale, don't just scroll past. Now we'll get money. You have money. It's coming. Look at it. In fact, book with the agent. Pay agency fee. Go and check it. I don't like the living room is not big enough. You say, I need something that has more space. Pricing is cheap. Go and price. Are you with me? What is number one? What is number two? What is number three? Consecration. All right? Consecration. When the Lord tells you, gives you specific words. In fact, some of these things are not sinful things. So other people do this, but you will not do this. You have to respect it. When, as a gospel artist,
God tells you, you must never charge. It doesn't matter how common it is. Are you with me? When God gives you specific consecrations, you cannot do this. You will not do this. Others can do it, not you. Amen, somebody. There are some things that are a personal abomination. You know, some ministers will be lobbying, will be sending people message that if you invite me, let me preach in your church. I don't know. Both training in ministry and in the spirit abominate it. I don't know how to do it. If you see me anywhere, God must have wanted me to be there. Personal consecrations. Number four, giving. Oh my God. Giving. Giving. Expect it. Some of you, the Lord is going to tell you to give. You see? And I'm not just talking about giving as a practice. You must have that. But there is such a thing as prophetic giving, okay? Where the Bible says there were many widows in Zarephath, but to no other widow was the prophet sent. So you have to learn there are kairos opportunities for generosity. Don't miss it. Because I'm telling you, sometimes your next level is attached to those seasons. If that widow in Zarephath missed that opportunity, she would have died though. Because it will take mercy for God to create another avenue for her needs to be met. If God says it will happen through giving, you best do it that way. Those who tie every blessing of God to generosity, they are charlatans. I'm saying it without, I'm not mincing words. I've been in ministry long enough to tell you the way it is. But at the same time, if you go to the other extreme where you cannot sense prophetically that Abraham is going and he sees Melchizedek, you must have the spiritual intelligence to know this is not an ordinary person. This is my chance. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is my chance. And that's why the debate will never end, because a lot of people do it in the flesh. Nothing happens, then they're now crying. You see, the real people that God stares for things like this, they're not even doing it for return. They're doing it for stewardship, because God can count on them. If God gave me money, he can tell me how to spend it. What is number one? What is number two? What is number three? What is number four? Ah, my God. Time. I will read two texts and then we will go. Is that okay, please? Look at Genesis chapter 21, verse 15. We'll read Genesis chapter 21, 15 to 17. What's the title of this sermon again? All right. So the Bible tells us that Hagar, having been sent away from the house of Abraham, she's carrying her baby. She's in the wilderness, in the desert. The water that she carried has finished. And now she's sure that she and the baby will die. But because of her love for the baby, she cannot stand the baby dying. So she just puts the baby under a shrub and walks away and says, I don't want to see it. This baby is about to die. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord appeared. Verse 17, and God heard the voice of the Lord. Then the angel of the Lord called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the Lord where he is. Verse 18, can you all read together? One, two, go. Verse 19, everybody read verse 19 loud as you can. One, two, go. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. Listen, oh my God. This is a prophetic word for some of you. See, she was about to die. The baby was about to die, but there was a well there. She just never saw it. Do you know that you can be surrounded by opportunities and not see it? And it looks like things are so unfavorable. Circumstances are so unfavorable. Listen, she was at the lowest ebb of her life, about to die. But there is a well right there. She didn't see it.
The Bible says God opened her eyes. The Lord is opening your eyes in this meeting. Say loud amen like you believe it.
Oh, what if the Lord opens your eyes to new opportunities for investment, for relationships? What if the Lord opens your eyes?
The Lord opened her eyes.
So that means she would have died. She would have died, thinking she died because resources were scarce.
It was just her eyes that needed to be opened. Prophetic investments, possible. Possible. Not only is it possible, it's the will of God. And then the last one I want to talk about is healing.
Did you ever notice in the story of Saul, what did God tell Ananias? He says he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias laying hands on him to receive his sight. Do you know you can be sick and see your healing?
You're not here. Let me try again.
I said, do you know that a person can be sick and in the realm of the spirit see his healing? That you have seen it play out in the... You know you will not always be sick. That there is a Kairos prophetic moment happening, and this is what is going to happen. Hands will be laid on you and you will be healed. See, some people, they just come forward, you know, when they say, let's pray for the sick, and you know, hands are just laid on them and they're wanting, you know, what if God has ordained for you to see it first? You know what is ironic? At the time, Saul couldn't see with his physical eyes, but his vision, oh my God, his physical eyes couldn't see. But in the realm of the spirit, because his spirit could still see, he saw a man named Ananias walking into the room, laying hands on him to receive his sight. I am telling you prophetically, see your healing. See your healing. See that you will not remain sick. See that you will not remain sick. See that you will spend your days in health and vitality, and that God is going to shock the doctors, and he's going to reverse things that need to be reversed in your body, and that creative miracles are happening in your body right now, and dead organs are coming back to life. See your healing. Your healing is on the way. See, the Lord is opening your eyes. The Lord is opening your eyes. He's announcing your deliverance. You will not always be sick. Oh my God. The answer is in your spirit. The Lord is opening your eyes to see a way out, to see a way out. The doctor said there's no way, but this is the provision of God. Someone is coming to lay hands on you to receive. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. You know, the same way you may be in a season of lack in your finances. What if you see abundance? What if you see? If God opens your eyes to see abundance, hey, you might have been single for a long time. What if you see yourself married? What if you see your family surrounded with children? Let the Lord open your eyes right now. The things that seem like lack around you, He's opening your eyes. He's opening your eyes. This is a prophetic moment. This is a prophetic moment. This is a prophetic moment. See yourself free from oppression. Yourself free from depression. See it. The Lord is opening your eyes. You have literally just a few minutes right now. Man of God, see yourself preaching the gospel around the world. See the sick getting healed. And the Lord opened her eyes. And the Lord opened her eyes. And the Lord opened his eyes. This is your testimony after this meeting. Hey! Whoa! Hi! Sepaha teka by a high. Yo! Yo! Hi, a tompre sapare kapale ha. Hey! Hey! Kapaka seha. Rote le pote repahaya. Hey!
what we're going to do? We're going to enter into a season, Minister Paul.
I, my God.
I believe that it was the vision of Saul that created an urgency for God to appear to Ananias and say, you must go and lay your hands on him. He has seen you. He has seen you. You must go. I believe that that's what stirred up that urgency. God had to go to Ananias. He has seen a man named Ananias. So he has stand up.
When the Lord opens your eyes to see all the limitations around you, see yourself without them. See yourself boundless in the influence of God, strategically positioned in his will. See. Let the Lord open your eyes. And as we worship right now, pour out your heart to the Lord and listen to me. Listen for instructions. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, get ready, God is about to speak to you. We have just a few minutes for this.
Hallelujah. Listen, first and foremost, for most of us, this is not the end. I just gave you the rule book. You're going to go spend quality time. Pray, press, see, and do. I really like the narrative of Acts 13. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas. After the Holy Ghost said, then they prayed more and separated. I think we should pray to see and then see to pray. And that is the prophetic cycle. We set upon our watch and see. Then when he says, we pray. And then we set upon the watch to see. And then when he says, we pray. I'm telling you. And then, just one more time, pick up your Bibles. I just want to give you something to rejoice about. Hallelujah. Open your Bibles, the book of Acts. Thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 9, verse 12, right? And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming to him, putting his hand on him that he may receive his sight. So now I'm asking you, what have you seen? So I want you to declare this as though it is your story. In this service, what have you seen in a vision? You say, I have seen in a vision. Come on, are you with me? So, what have you seen in a vision? I have seen in a vision that not too long from now, God is going to expand this ministry to this place and that place. I have seen in a vision, my family is going to be this and that. Listen, I am giving you an opportunity for creative miracles and vision right now. And I want you to write it down. Write it down. Write it down. Write it down. I see from my spirit. What do you see from your spirit? 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 And by the way, if you've learned anything today, you know that even what you're writing, you go and vet it in the secret place. If it needs to be adjusted, you adjust it. But you take that step of faith now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. Oh, my God. And God opened her eyes. God has opened my eyes. I have seen my way out. I have seen my way out. In my family, I've seen my way out. In my ministry, I've seen the way out. In my business, I've seen the way out. God has opened my eyes. I have seen the way out. I have seen a well in
eyes. I've seen a way out of frustration. God has opened my eyes. I have seen rivers in the desert. God has opened my eyes. God has opened my eyes. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Open the mic in a few minutes. Let everyone called sick under the sound of my voice be healed. I received a testimony about 2 weeks ago. A lady was listening to the sermon, Creative Miracles. And as she was listening to it, she slept. And she saw in a vision, someone like me. Of course, by now you know it's not me. God uses this, the images of the men he has sent into your life. Someone that, in fact, let me just say the way she said it. In the vision, I walked to her, placed my hand on her eye that had been aching for years. And she woke up, the pain was gone. Hallelujah. This Jesus is wonderful. This Jesus is real. And he's about to prove it in your life. I say again, for anyone called sick under the sound of my voice, receive your healing now. Why wait for a boot camp when you can receive it now? Be healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Be healed in your eyes. Deaf ears opened. Let tongues be loosed. Let pains in the body disappear. Let dead or broken organs come back alive. Let creative miracles happen now. Let blood transfusions happen supernaturally. You are healed in your body. Healed in your mind. Every devil of darkness tormenting anyone or anyone connected to you, I speak as one sent by God, and I command those devils to be expelled in the name of Jesus. Even for those online, every devil tormenting you, I command be expelled in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you the praise and the glory. I give you a prophetic instruction. In 20 seconds, rejoice and say, he has opened my eyes. 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 Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name, Lord. We give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we've prayed. I'm saying it again. I'm seeing a vision of an avalanche of testimonies amongst the members. God is bringing many of us to positions of influence and prominence for his namesake. And listen, oh my God, You know, anyway, since it's Joshua generation, Joshua fought for space, right? And owned land. As a token of God's prophetic word, you will own things next year. Yes. I want to say it again. God wants to give you land in this city. There are lands with your name on it. There are lands with your name on them. Thank you, Jesus. Grace has made it easy. The zeal of the Lord shall perform it. The zeal of the Lord shall perform it. Hey, the Lord is asking me to say, oh my God, oh my God. Thank you, Father. Say it again. He has opened my eyes to see. Glory to his name. In Jesus' mighty name, we've prayed.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.